Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
We enter into this new sermon series about seeing all the people. And this series, as we go through these next several weeks, it's a three-week series. As we go through this next several weeks, we're going to be talking about crowds. Crowds, you know, there are crowds in our neighborhoods. We live in an urban city. It was interesting when I moved here from Nebraska. The county of San Diego has more people than the state of Nebraska. That's what I mean by crowds. And we live in an urban setting, right? There are quite a few people in San Diego proper. We're familiar with crowds. If you're not familiar with crowds, the 5 freeways right over there, you'll get familiar really quick. The first time I was ever in like a massive crowd, was this situation. I was attending this sort of upbeat, fun, contemporary style worship service, and there was this guy who was this amazing singer and musician, and I got to know him. And one day he said, "Well, I've got this band, and we've got this gig coming up, and our keyboard player can't make it. Can you fill in for us?" And he didn't know what a lousy keyboard player I am, so I said yes. And so I started rehearsing with him, and we went to this gig. It was up in San Francisco. I'd never been to any kind of Pride event before. And so the first Pride event I ever went to was in San Francisco. Whew! It was in the mid to late 90s, so that's sort of the time period. And again, I'd never been in like a real crowd before. Now, this band, we were supposed to play this little side stage, but somebody on the main stage didn't show up or something happened, whatever. And so we got bumped up to the main stage. So we're playing this good-sized crowd on the main stage at San Francisco Pride in the mid to late 1990s, and it was amazing. And then after that, we went to the parade. And so we're in this giant crowd for the parade. And then after that, we went to the Castro District, and I'm not telling those stories. What was wonderful about being in such a crowd, and if you've been to Pride, you know that people who go to Pride express themselves in unique and wonderful ways. Here's how I explained it to my kids the first time we went to the Pride Festival here in San Diego. At the Pride Festival, there's quite a bit of exuberance and projection of personality. But what I said to my kids is, listen, if you have lived in a time and a place where people tell you that who you are is not okay, then when you know you're going to be in a safe place, you want to express all of yourself. And so that's how sort of I look at the expressions of people who are wearing things that you don't normally see on the street in these big crowds. Okay? And so I'm in this enormous crowd, and people are dressed in ways that I have never ever seen before, or less dressed in ways that I've never ever seen before, certainly in public. And I expected to feel this sense of intimidation, of concern, and instead it was this crowd that was filled with joy and peace and love. And it was amazing. I had never to that point in my life been in a crowd like that. It was wonderful. Now, there are certain characteristics that sometimes we see in crowds. And one of the things that occurs to me is this period in the movie Men in Black. If you've seen the movie Men in Black, there's, you know, Will Smith gets into this secret government organization because of all the aliens on Earth. I'm talking about the ones from other planets. Okay? And there's... I didn't mean that to be as funny as apparently it was. Will Smith is just sort of being brought into this organization, and he's talking with his mentor, who's played by Tommy Lee Jones, and Jones is talking about the difference between a person and people, right? And we can translate this to crowds, right? And Jones says, listen, a person is a smart, intelligent human being, but people are scared animals. And I don't know if you've ever been in one of those crowds where it seems like it's sort of a scary experience, but one of the ways that that we can sometimes understand crowds is like a crowd could be anonymous, a crowd can be emotional or impulsive, a crowd can be impersonal. Now, I would say that this crowd is in contrast in some ways with the crowd that I was in San Francisco. Maybe you've had those experiences of being in the crowd that feels impersonal, that feels emotional and or impulsive, that feels anonymous. Or maybe you've been in a crowd that feels that feels like that sense of hope and peace, right? That sense of joy. And maybe you felt sort of a bit of both in a crowd, right? But I want you to hear about a crowd that was like neither of these things. And for this, I want to turn to our text. We're going to hear from Shannon in a minute. This is from Luke 6, and this is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, when Shannon reads it, it's going to be described as a sermon on a plain, right? P-L-A-I-N, not P-L-A-N-E. Okay, good. All right. It's a sermon on a flat place. Now, we talked a couple of weeks ago about how the Gospel of Matthew, that author, had a tendency to highlight or to parallel Jesus with Moses, okay? Moses would go up onto Mount Sinai to speak with God, and then he'd bring commandments down or bring whatever down, right, from the mountain. And the author of the Gospel of Matthew did a lot of things to parallel Jesus with Moses, which could be why Jesus in that gospel was placed on a mountain. In this gospel, in the Gospel of Luke, it's not a mountain, it's on a plain. And one of the things that I think that the author of the Gospel of Luke is highlighting is that Jesus is particularly present in seeing the crowd. He remains on eye level. He's there in ways where he can really connect. You know, and I highlight that vision of where maybe the author of the Gospel of Luke is coming from, feeling a little bit cautious standing up here on this chancel area, and you all are down, right? Like, it's not my intent to say we don't connect. It's just that's what I think Luke is trying to highlight, right? So keep that in mind as we hear the scripture.
Jesus came down from the mountain with them and stood on a large area of level ground. A great company of his disciples and a huge crowd of people from all around Judea and Jerusalem and the area around Tyre and Sidon joined him there. They came to hear him and to be healed from their diseases, and those bothered by unclean spirits were healed. The whole crowd wanted to touch him because power was going out of him and he was healing everyone. Jesus raised his eyes to his disciples and said, "Happy are you who are poor, because God's kingdom is yours. Happy are you who hunger now, because you will be satisfied. Happy are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Happy are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and condemn your name as evil because of the human one. Rejoice when that happens. Leap for joy, because you have a great reward in heaven. Their ancestors did the same things to the prophets. But how terrible for you who are rich, because you have already received your comfort. How terrible for you who have plenty now, because you will be hungry. How terrible for you who laugh now, because you will mourn and weep. How terrible for you when all speak well of you. Their ancestors did the same things to the false prophets."
It's my hope that this sounds familiar to you. You know, this translation is saying things like, "Happy are these people," and "How terrible for these people." But you might translate in your mind to something familiar: "Blessed are those who," "Woe to those who." Does that add a layer of familiarity to this text for you? Let's talk a little bit about this crowd. You see, this crowd on the plain, they wanted some particular things, it seems. It seems that they wanted to see Jesus. It seems that they wanted to be comforted. It seems that they wanted to be made whole. One of the things that stands out to me is that visual. The text tells us that everyone wanted to touch Jesus. And how I visualize that in my mind is I imagine this crowd reaching for Jesus. Reaching on a physical sense, emotionally as well, but in a physical sense, people reaching for Jesus. I wonder if we also reach for Jesus. Maybe not in that physical sense, but maybe in a spiritual sense, maybe in an emotional sense, maybe we might find ourselves reaching for Jesus as well. Sometimes we have a tendency to identify with a character in a crowd or a group in a crowd. We might identify with the crowd, or we might identify with Jesus. And I would suggest in this particular analysis of this text, maybe we might choose to identify with both at some differing stages. See, I think it might be good for us to reach to Jesus, to grow in our faith, to grow in our discipleship. Right? Isn't the mission of the United Methodist Church to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? If that is it, it makes sense to me that we have to grow in our own discipleship so that we can aid others in growing in their discipleship. Like, we cannot be the body of Christ until we engage in our faith. I don't think we can be the body of Christ if our commitment to our faith is showing up for an hour on Sunday morning. I realize that can sound challenging. We all have busy lives. But if we want to be transformed, it's got to be worth more than an hour a week, doesn't it? So are we reaching toward Jesus? See, when we identify with the crowd, are we reaching toward Jesus in the way that they are? Because I guess that we want to see Jesus, we want to be comforted, we want to be made whole. Are we reaching toward Jesus? But once we have experienced Jesus, once we have experienced that comfort and that healing, once we are a part of the body of Christ, then we must realize that there are still people reaching toward Jesus. And if we are the body of Christ, then we are the ones to whom the hands are outstretched. See, there are people in our neighborhoods who want to see Jesus. There are people in our neighborhoods who want to be comforted. There are people in our neighborhoods who want to be made whole. And so we have to bridge that. I think it's our job, I think it's our call to bridge those things. To grow in our faith such that we can participate more fully in the body of Christ so that we might respond to those who want to see Jesus, who want to be comforted, who want to be made whole. But some important questions about who it is in our neighborhoods. You see, this is a unique congregation in many ways. Most of us who are here in this room don't live here in Pacific Beach. Most of us come from other parts of San Diego, and that's great. That's wonderful. So now how can we reach out to the people who live here in Pacific Beach? When it comes to our neighborhoods, when it comes to this community, who is it that we see? What are their needs? Who is it who comes to this church? Do the people who come to this church look like the people in our neighborhoods? A quick aside, the answer to that is no, but for a good reason. This congregation is actually more diverse than the people who live nearby. And that's a rarity. Who doesn't come to this church who might still be reaching for Jesus? If we are to be a disciple who reaches toward Jesus, it's not about popularity. It's about living the truth that Jesus teaches. It's not about popularity. It's about living the truth that Jesus teaches. So let's get practical for a second. Let's talk a little bit about what it means to reach toward Jesus, to grow in our discipleship. You see, I've struggled, frankly, over the last several years about trying to create a way for us to think about growing in our discipleship. And I bring to you a model that we're considering. I've run this by several folks in our congregation, and we're continuing to try to make this more perfect. But this is a good starting place for how we might grow in our discipleship. You see, it starts by simply gathering together. That's the first step. The idea that we're new to PBUMC or maybe any church, we come to a worship, maybe a few other activities, but that's the step we're in. That's the place we're in. So where do we go from there? We might go to a place where we grow. We're ready to go deeper. Our faith is changing us, and we've begun to get more involved. But if we find ourselves in that place, what's the next step? To give. Now, not just money, but money. But also other things. Our time, our energy, our spirit. When we're ready to commit fully to give of our time and our spirit in covenant with our faith community. And if we find ourselves in that place, where do we go from there? The idea of going. I'm ready to walk daily with Christ. I'm ready to share my gifts, my leadership, and my faith freely. Particularly to those who are just getting ready to gather. Do you see how this model helps us as we reach toward Christ to grow in our own faith, to grow in our own discipleship? so that as we participate more fully in the body of Christ, that we might be the ones who would aid others in their own faith and discipleship journey. Do you see how they're connected? Do you see how we are more able to help others in their faith and discipleship journey when we are already on our own journey? And this is a model that I hope might be made more perfect so that we can engage, that we know where we are and know what we're doing and know what our next steps are. But you got to know where you are before you know your next step. This is a model that might help us with that thing. And there are some helpful folks who are going to continue to help us on that journey. The question is, how will we reach toward Jesus so that we can see all the people in our communities? See, because I want to say this thing. If we're going to see the people in our communities, if we're going to be those to whom people can reach out, I want to say that it's not about fixing churches or improving church attendance. Like, I want those things. I'm not trying to say I don't. I'm saying that if we are authentically caring for the people in our communities, it is about we see the people and we care for the people, full stop. It cannot be we see the people, we care for the people so that they'll come to church. No, that's not authentic. We would welcome folks to come to this church, but we must care for people because it's the right thing to do. When Jesus reached out to the crowd, he reached out with compassion to the crowd because he was responding to what people needed. Did he say, all right, now we're going to form a committee? He didn't say that. He reached out. He did say, come and follow me. But he didn't say, come and do anything. Come and follow me. Do good things. Be a good person. Love God with everything you have and love your neighbor. Don't worry about the committees. Let's talk a little bit about what that can look like. And I have a short video, and this will conclude the sermon with this short video. It didn't work last service, but we made sure it'll work this service. This is an example of what it can look like to see the people in our communities. But here's the summary of the video. A pastor is walking up to a church, the outside of a church, while a group of kids are outside playing basketball. Okay? And the basketball gets away from somebody, and it hits the pastor, and he grabs it, and he says, I told you a million times to watch out. You got to be careful with this. And they sort of push back on him. What are you going to do about it, old man? He said, I tell you what, when I get done in here, I'm coming back out here. And you sort of get this sense of tension, right? Well, they go in, and they have this wonderful meeting. They just sort of gloss over the meeting part. But then he comes back outside, and the ball gets thrown to him, this time more intentionally, and he catches it. He's like, all right, you ready? And then one of the kids, for the first time, calls him pastor. And then the pastor calls them by name, and he goes out, and he, not only the pastor, but the people from the meeting all come out, and they play basketball with these kids. Do you see what it looks like to see your community and participate with them? What I love about that video is the pastor comes out and he sort of trash talks a little bit, but they call him pastor. And you see how it's not just the pastor who comes out and participates in what's happening in the community, but the rest of the folks from that committee too? That's one example of so many of what it looks like to see the people. Let us be a congregation that sees the people, that reaches toward Jesus so that we can be the body of Christ and help people on their own faith journey. Let's turn to a time of prayerfulness, of thoughtfulness, about how God might be speaking to us through this time of worship today. Holy God, we are glad to be with you in this place. We are glad to be together in this place, to be connected as community. As we lift up our joys, as we lift up our concerns, help us to celebrate the connection that is in this place, but also to experience the support and love that takes place as a community of faith, and ultimately the love and compassion and care and support that comes from you. Particularly this day, O God, we lift up those who will be gathering in St. Louis for General Conference 2019. May they be guided by your Spirit, and may they discern your will. God, we lift up all these things and any that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.